Welcome to RMR Diaries podcast, where we bring you the best news, a podcast that unpacks daily life stories, where we explore and give insight into the richness of culture, heritage, identity, and experiences that shape students in today's world. I am your host, Sino Thando Makadesi, and next to me is my co-host,
Kyle De Silva. We tell stories that happen around us, stories that happen in lectures, dorms, and on campus. We share cultural, traditional, and personal experiences that unite students to make the university a welcoming place. Today's episode delves into what we wear on campus. We will explore on the meaning behind what students wear. Some wear garments which are rooted in Islamic tradition. Xhosa men, after initiation, wear hats with suits, and Sangomas wear beads.
What they wear gives us insight of how they worship their culture, tradition, and religion practices. So stay tuned as we unpack these topics.
Islamic culture is rooted in principles of faith and a sense of identity and has shaped the daily lives and traditions of people worldwide. Among its most visible and distinctive features is the style of dressing, which reflects both religious teachings and rich regional diversity. The interviewees give us insight into their style of dressing, what the names of the clothes they wear are, and what their symbolism is.
Sino Thando Makadesi, a second-year journalism and media studies student, had an interview with Muhammad Akil Sheikh, Masiha Hafaji, and Muhammad Noor Masoka to learn more about the Islamic religion. Islamic culture is rooted in its principles of faith and a sense of identity that has shaped the daily lives and traditions of people worldwide. Among its most visible and distinctive features is the style of dressing, which reflects both religious teachings and rich regional diversity. The interviewees give us insight into their style of dressing, what the names of the clothes they wear are, and what their symbolism is.
My dress code is abayas. Mm-hmm. Now, abaya is like a cloak. Yeah. And the thing is, when you're a female in Islam, you have to wear very loose clothing.
Mm-hmm, not
like
tight.
Like something that doesn't define your body shape, basically.
Oh.
And there are certain parts of your body that you're not allowed to show. And the parts of the body that you are allowed to show are your face,
yeah,
your hands, and your feet. Everything else needs to be covered, like including your hair and things.
Male attire is generally a more traditional attire with variations across different cultures.
Mm.
So the traditional attire, what we're looking at is what we call a kurta. That's a what you would call a dress.
Kurta.
Generally either knee or ankle length, a dress. Then you'd also have what we call the topi, which is the traditional hat. Either generally like a fabric or, hard hat type of thing.
We wear this attire out of love and out of obedience to the Messenger of Allah.
Mm. Thank you.
Juggling schoolwork, interacting with friends, while also preserving your customs and traditions can be a lot for other people to take in. The interviewees tell us more about how they navigate school, friendships, while also fasting for Ramadan.
The fast is for the entire month of Ramadan. So Ramadan isn't a time period, it's a lunar month.
Muslims get excited for Ramadan.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like a celebration because like we're more in tune with our religion.
Oh, and forgiveness and everything.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting for us. And it kind of cleanses your soul as well during Ramadan because like you're engrossed in prayer and forgiveness and charity. And also, not eating makes you feel better a little bit.
Really?
It kind of cleanses your body. Yeah, have you heard of intermittent fasting?
Mm-mm.
It kind of cleanses your body. And that's why, you feel better at the end of Ramadan. And then to kind of commemorate Ramadan, we have Eid, which is another celebration.
Yeah, Eid.
And that's where we have, all nice food.
Fasting also helps you because you realize once you fast, you won't do the same things that you did when you were eating.
It limits you.
When you were eating. So you don't do any unnecessary movements. You don't like talk unnecessarily. You only do the things that you have to do to get through the day. So you won't get into like unnecessary trouble or misunderstandings or like any, you won't make any problems with people. So it will, it's easier for you, for your relationship with other people. And with studies, it also helps you with like focus.
The interviewees tell us how they are perceived in this university space is they are staying at a place that is dominated by the Xhosa tribe.
Like, I'm receptive to questions and I can answer like most questions like respectfully, as long as the person comes respectfully to me.
So yeah, I do get questions everywhere I go about my hijab and things and why I wear it. And I know that some people see it as like a sign of oppression because of like propaganda and things. But for us, it's like a sign of religion. It's a sign of like prayer. And we're also like representing our religion at the same time. And it's like a protection for us.
The Islamic religion is one of the beautiful religions to follow. However, it has its difficulties and might prove to be a challenge to someone new to it. The Islamic religion is one of the beautiful religions to follow. However, it has its difficulties and might prove to be a challenge to someone new to it.
Like, we eat dates. Dates keep you full, even if you eat like two or three. And it prevents like fatigue, and you drink water and milk. Now, obviously, we eat more than that. I eat more than that in the morning. But yeah, those are like the staple foods you should eat to feel good when you're fasting.
The reading of the Quran, the Holy Book, making extra, you know, prayer.
Trust, have trust in Allah that Allah will give you something better than what you have.
From these interviews, we gain so much knowledge about the beauty of the Islamic religion, their customs and traditions, and their style of dressing. By the time the interviews ended, we were educated.
Wow, that was an interesting insight into the Islamic world and what people wear. Guys, I just wanted to ask you, what were your initial thoughts after listening to that?
No, to be honest, growing up, I didn't really know anything about the Islamic religion outside of what I saw on the news or like on movies and something. So I had this narrow perception that Muslim women didn't have much of a choice, like they didn't choose what to wear. But now I realize that a lot of women choose what to wear. It's not forced, but it's part of their religion and it's part of their identity.
Well, with me, I didn't have much knowledge on their religion, and I was always confused as to why they cover their hair, because I believe that as women, we should show our hair, because our hair is one of the most important pieces that we have to our body. So I felt like them not showing their hair is a bit, I felt confused by that, actually, really confused, because I was like, why are they not showing their hair? And I always wondered what their hair looks like, because, you know, women's hair is very beautiful. And even with me, when I do my hair, I feel good. So I'm like, so they don't experience this. So that was what I thought about the entire thing.
Okay, I understand how you guys can think that it could have been a little bit restrictive. But now that you have actually listened to the interview, has your perception changed in any way?
It has. You know, I always, I also pinned or like linked the religion with race. You know, like when I thought of the Islamic religion, I thought of Arabic people, which now I see that is very ignorant and very closed-minded, because it has nothing to do with race. It's a religion that anyone can follow, because even in the interview, Even in the interview, we hear that there's a black man who converted to the Islamic religion.
So, to give us more insight into the Islamic religion, we went around campus asking students what they think about the Muslim religion, their style of dressing, and everything that pertains to the Islamic religion.
What comes in mind when you think about the Islamic attire?
Okay, so personally, in my own opinion, I feel like they're trapped. Because what do you mean you cannot dress what you want? That's not it. They're trapped. That's what I think.
I feel like they're bound by their religious beliefs, because women are expected to cover their face and wear long things so that they don't show inner skin. But men, they look free, as their attires look, as if they are okay, they are free, and yeah, no one is oppressing them to wear in a certain way. So it's the religion that is binding women. So it has a gender stereotype thingy that is oppressing. Yeah, so it does not look like a religion of peace, per se, when I see the attire.
On any given day on campus, you'll see students dressed in their usual jeans, hoodies, and sneakers. But for some, what they wear tells a deeper story, one of ancestry, spirituality, and tradition. In this piece, we'll hear from a traditional healer, a Sangoma, who walks the halls of this university, adorned in the beads and attire that connects them to their culture. Through their eyes, we'll explore how these garments shape their experiences and how they navigate a space that often doesn't understand what it means to wear them, and how they carry their identity with pride despite the challenges.
In this story, we meet three students enrolled to university who carry more than just textbooks. They carry bones, beads, and spiritual responsibilities that is rooted in centuries of African tradition. Lizingele, Kwakanya Mbambiso, and Gogo Nyangizizwe walk between two worlds, the academic world and the ancestral world.
Ndiligqirha elibomvu endigqirha elimhlophe. For umndawo intsimbi bomvu, ndinxiba bomvu. Entloko ndiqaba idumane, umzimba wam from ebusweni uyotsho ezinyaweni ndiqaba imbola ebomvu. Ndinxibe iintsimbi ezi-red and white. Entloko ndiba nentsimbi e-red and white ene-shell in the middle. Ndibe nentsimbi on my neck, my wrist and the ankles. Nakwi-waist yam ndinxibe isikipa esibomvu nesiketi esibomvu. Phezu kwesi sikipa sam ndinxiba ezinye iintsimbi. Kwintsimbi emhlophe ndinxiba white. Ndithwala iqhiya emhlophe entloko. Ndiqabe imbola emhlophe umzimba wonke. Iintsimbi zam ke zakacamagu zimhlophe zonke. Ndineentsimbi ezimbini entloko. Ndibe nentsimbi entanyeni yona ke inde ngucamagu. Ndibe nentsimbi on my wrist and ankles.
My attire is sacred. I don't wear it for attention. It's communication. It tells my ancestors I am ready. It tells people I'm on duty. I wear intsimbi, beads, cloths that have meanings, but I don't always wear it in public.
These are the visible and invisible stories of Lizingele, Kwakanya Mbambiso, and Gogo Nyangizizwe.
Have you ever felt hesitant or maybe uncomfortable about wearing your attire in public spaces, like on campus?
Yes, iba khona I hesitation panapa, ngoba a lot of people stay and they stay, and that makes me very anxious. Ngoba abantu bacinga izinto ezininzi xa benibona.
People stay, laugh or avoid me. It's draining.
I mean, when they look at me, it's like they're seeing something from out of this world. African, how can you not understand this? How can you look at this as if it's something alien to you?
There was this incident that happened in my TAT group where my tutor wandixelela bana iyandoyika and ufila uncomfortable because of how I am dressed, and akakwazi ufundisa to her best ability.
With my lecturers, there's one who's very supportive, my anthropology lecturer. I mean, he's great. He's been very supportive. He makes me feel included, and I don't feel like an outcast.
You walk in into a lecture and people whisper, or they ask questions like, "Do you see ghosts?" I get it. They're curious, but I wish they'd ask with respect. I'm not a sideshow. I'm human.
I carry something heavy, and when I feel unseen and mocked, I question myself. And then I remember, my ancestors chose me, and that's enough. I feel like I stand out. I'm different from the rest. I'm not superior in any way. I'm still human, but I'm different. I'm in a living in between two worlds, the spiritual world and the world of the mundane.
Wow, that was a very deep story. So what do you guys think about this story?
Personally, I honestly feel really, really bad for the interviewee. I can only imagine just because you're wearing, you know, your traditional attire. It's not like she chose to be in that position. And also, I don't think people should be treated differently because of how they look, you know?
Yeah, can I also add on what you're saying, right? So I feel like people, like, what matters the most is being open-minded, like, just understand that cultures are not the same. And also, if I feel like if I wasn't that person, like, shoes, then so feel like we aren't disrespecting somehow because... get address a like in a respectful manner, like out of a class.
Exactly. You understand? Also, I feel like if you're going to be in a space where you are teaching people or you are tutoring people, then you should be very open-minded.
Yeah.
Number one, yes, but in university, you pick up who come from
different
religions, different cultures, different backgrounds. So you cannot really be, you know, closed-minded, but closed to banana nom who doesn't look like you,
yeah,
or doesn't look like anything that you used to. Uvele, uone,
Welcome to the RMR Diaries podcast. If you just joined us, we are still continuing with our conversation on what students wear on campus.
And to help us gather more insight on the topic at hand, we went around campus to ask students what do they think about the traditional attire of traditional healers on campus.
The first thing that comes to mind when I see a traditional healer, it is admiration. I admire how they are so intact with their roots that they are able to wear their attires anyway. You know, it's so beautiful to witness, because they are able to represent themselves and their beliefs in the manner in which they dress. I love that so much.
I think that traditional healers are very proud of their culture, their gifts, more especially their gifts, because each attire represents a person's unique gift, right? So their beads represent something, their clothing, everything. So traditional healers are very proud for revealing their gifts, for standing up for themselves, and for making sure that they cherish and they like showcase their gifts generally through their attire, through the way they act, through the way they talk, and everything they do. They make sure that they are very happy and proud about their gifts through the attire. So it shows their braveness and their love for culture.
Every year, unknowing students come to Rhodes University and are confused by the influx of first-year Xhosa male students arriving with their traditional post-initiation attire, as well as its relevance and significance in their lives and culture. This educational journey faced by these new men is a learning experience that can help clear any misconceptions surrounding the Xhosa culture. University is a new beginning for most, but for some, it's a return to society as someone completely different. For Kungawo, Isona, and Owam, three young Xhosa men starting their first year at Rhodes University came right after initiation school, and they arrived wearing the traditional attire that marks the transition into manhood.
Well, I come from a small town called Port Alfred. I'm 18 years old, about to turn 19. I was schooling in a small school as well called Guyasa.
I am the coolest guy in the earth, and also I like to being associated with a lot of people.
Got to Rhodes this year, my first year. I'm studying BSc. I came from Queenstown.
To some, the attire that they wear may seem abnormal or different, something that they cannot comprehend or accept. But to them, it means everything.
I feel enlightened by it because, like, I'm, like, showcasing my culture and how beautiful it is.
I'm feeling proud, basically, because I'm representing the culture.
And that sort of made another sort of little community inside our community.
But tradition stands out, especially in places that don't understand it. Their attire sparked curiosity, confusion, and sometimes judgment.
So my lecturer asked, are you wearing a suit because you are dressing for the part, since I'm doing an LLB degree? And I laughed at it because he doesn't know that I'm actually wearing it because of my culture, and I've just come back from initiation school.
We cover our faces with imbowala, so most of the time other people like look to us like we are not the normal people.
It's kind of like, bruh, you know, I've just gone through what I've gone through and calling you a boy. It's just kind of like, that doesn't really sit right with me.
To be seen differently isn't always the issue. It's being seen without understanding. But the attire is not just about clothing. It carries meaning, discipline, manhood, forward motion.
The attire is showcasing what a new man should be, even the actions while wearing the attire. So, like, for example, when we're in that stage of wearing the attire, we're not supposed to look back, we only look forward.
Once you go to the initiation school and then you come back, it's something that is more like joyful to you because you only go there for once in your life, in your lifetime, you see. So when you come back, like, you represent the culture.
There is that difference where you can't, you know, do things that you did before, and there's a way that you have to carry yourself.
And in the discomfort, they found something else. Clarity, identity, and pride. Something they had found specifically in their shared, unique experience.
There's more to just initiation to Xhosa. There's more to just initiation.
Like, there are some boys like who are coming behind me, so everything I do think it twice.
More mature in you know, because like when you're young, maybe you'll see all the people in your family doing certain things and maybe saying certain things, but maybe you don't understand why they do or say those things. But then now that I've gone through that, I would say that I can start to see why they say or do those type of things, you know. So I feel like it's kind of opened the gate for me to start to understand and also be able to grow as a person.
They weren't just holding on to tradition. They were shaping their manhood within it, but carrying forth values that have been instilled for generations into their identity. Becoming a man isn't just about leaving boyhood behind, but also about being ambassadors for the Xhosa culture and ensuring that the values and makings of Xhosa men are seen and understood.
And to gather more insight on the topic at hand, we went around campus to ask students what are their thoughts on the traditional attire of Xhosa men.
I think the attire makes them look dignified and respectable. The suits give them the appearance of being the men of the house. And I also admire how they honor their culture by wearing them every day. Yeah.
So what do you think about the attire that is worn by Xhosa men after coming back from the initiation?
Oh, okay.
I like how they dress. They look neat and presentable. And I think they also represent Xhosa culture very well. Yeah.